It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is in New York City. We appreciate you being here. Shout outs to everybody on the roads, the highways, the byways, my people delivering, my people working, people protecting people, helping people, getting to the money. Thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We have so much to do. If you missed the first half of the show, where have you been? We talked about Kellen Moore, the newest head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Took his offensive coordinator job with the Eagles, won a Super Bowl, and now he's the head coach of the Saints. We talked about the debut of Luka Doncic in Los Angeles. Thank you so much to our guest. Ed Kratz joined us to talk Eagles, a courtesy of Sports Illustrated. Shout outs to SI. We talked about the teams that have the best odds of winning the championship next year. Eagles are number one, Chiefs are number two. What a shock. And then we talked about Brock Purdy. The 49ers are like, we are not letting this guy go. He's about to get paid. We talked about the Dallas Mavericks ejecting their paying customers. Dallas Maverick fans are like, fire our GM, Nico Harrison. Dallas Mavericks said, get out of the arena. Get out. They ejected him. What a world. And we have so much more to get into. A matter of fact, speaking of those Mavericks, next hour, we're going to have a chat with Kevin Gray. Covers all things Dallas Mavericks for DLLS Sports. We get to ask him, what's next? Like, can we actually get a full-on mutiny? Have we ever had a fan base in North American sports, like, really give an ownership group the boot, give them a piece of their mind? The answer is never, but maybe the Mavs can make a statement here. They deserve it. What a dumbass decision. We'll get into that next hour. There's so much more to get into. Cam Newton is seemingly alienating more of his former teammates. You might recall a couple of weeks ago, Cam Newton, when asked whether or not he'd do his career over if he'd take a Super Bowl championship or keep his MVP, he said, I keep my MVP. Well, Cam Newton has taken a step further. He has disrespected some of his teammates. Ouch. We'll talk about that later on this hour. Saquon Barkley, big bet on himself, now a Super Bowl champ. Is this going to lead to a bounce back when it comes to running backs in the NFL? And then right before we went to break, I did tell you, well, not about Kevin Durant being miserable. What else is new? There are two NFL quarterbacks. These are two of the most controversial in the league. One is Dak Prescott. The other is Aaron Rodgers. Let me get to the one who is less controversial. The one who I would say he's well-liked, I think, for the most part. Now, people can take a look at his ability and say he's not good enough. They can look at his 3-5 playoff record and go, he's not good enough. They can look at his $60 million salary and say he's not good enough. They can look at his injuries and say he's not good enough. I'm talking about Dak Prescott. We know the Dallas Cowboys are a team in transition. They have a new head coach in Brian Schottenheimer. They've elevated him to run the show now that Mike McCarthy is gone. They have gone through a variety of injuries. They have to figure out who they're going to throw the ball to outside of CeeDee Lamb that's reliable. You got to keep Dak Prescott upright. They still don't have a running back. I'm sorry, Rico Dowdle isn't good enough for me. I can go on and on. They have to fill out the defense. I can go on and on and on. And the worst thing about the Dallas Cowboys, they have a nutty owner in Jerry Jones. Now, I want to give Dak Prescott all the credit in the world for looking at the bright side. Because Dak Prescott was doing what a good human does, somebody with a good heart. Dak Prescott was at some children's event, helping out children. Great stuff. Amazing stuff. And of course, the media shows up, not because he's helping kids, but because they want a quote. That's the worst of things. Hickey, I really hate that, by the way. Like, the media, I get it. They're doing their job. They don't give a damn about the story with Dak helping the kids. They just want to, they want a quote from Dak. Isn't that bad? I hate that.
It does feel a little weird to be doing a press conference talking about the Cowboys, and I'm sure zero questions about the work he was doing. The setting, I would agree, does feel a little bit weird.
Yeah, I'm sure they asked out of courtesy. Hey, Dak, we heard you're helping, you know, sick kids, but what about Jared Jones? Like, man, shut up. Like, be quiet. You know, Hickey, I put it to you this way. I think it would be cool if Dak did this work. And by the way, this was an event, a children's cancer fund gala. He's helping to raise money and awareness fund. Wouldn't it be something if he said, I'm not answering questions about the Dallas Cowboys? You ask me questions about this event, and then we'll talk about the Cowboys another time. We'll do it. I don't know. It's just focusing on the kids. I don't know. I'm focusing in on the kids. Damn it. Go ahead. Google it. Children's Cancer Fund Gala, April 11th in the Metroplex. Google it. That's my work there. But Dak, of course, was asked about the Cowboys. And he says something crazy. Why he didn't just shut it down and put the focus in on the children, I have no idea. Listen to what Dak had to say about the Dallas Cowboys standing in the NFC East, the NFC, and ultimately the NFL.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close. Especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
Oh, my goodness. Why are you doing that to yourself? I expect all the crazy things to come from Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones was the man. Hickey, when did he say this? Was it last offseason? He said that the Dallas Cowboys are in the same category as the Kansas City Chiefs. That was last summer, right?
That was last offseason, yep.
Is there something in the water in Jerry's world? I mean, we got Jerry Jones saying that the Dallas Cowboys are in the same space as the Kansas City Chiefs. And now we have Dak Prescott going, oh, well, we compete against these teams in the NFC East, so we're close. Like, bruh, like, where's Pat Riley when we need him? Like, Pat Riley ticked off Jimmy Butler because Pat Riley basically told him, man, why are you making these proclamations? And you can't even play. Like, Dak Prescott played 8 games this past season. Before he basically had a tendon, a muscle ripped from the bone of his hamstring. Like, he played 8 games. I mean, we all saw this guy tragically, unfortunately, break his ankle and his foot a few years ago. Like, Dak is kind of always banged up and nicked up in some type of way. The Cowboys went 7-10. I get it. The Eagles are in your division. Washington had success in your division. I wouldn't even talk about being close. Just focus in on what you have to do instead of what other people are doing. There's no such thing as close. You're either good or you're not enough. And then people wonder why everybody is always so critical of the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe y'all open up your mouths too damn much. Keep it shut. Just let your words go out there and speak for itself. We just had a quarterback win the Super Bowl in Jalen Hurts. The guy barely speaks, barely says anything. There are no bold proclamations. There are no, we need to do this or we're right here. The guy just calls it black and white, what everybody can see. Nothing outrageous, nothing outlandish. And Dallas Cowboys are always up for criticism because they are always putting their own foot or feet in their mouth. At this point, yeah, multiple, plural. They cannot. Shut up. Dak, be healthy first. And don't talk about the Cowboys. Just go play. And speaking of a guy who's never met a microphone that he doesn't like, Aaron Rodgers, I guess we're starting to learn more about why Aaron Rodgers is no longer going to be a member of the New York Jets. We got the report on Super Bowl Sunday from Jay Glazer, who basically said the New York Jets had Aaron Rodgers out to New Jersey last week and informed him, we don't want you. It's time to move on. But we now have an additional report that says that the New York Jets requested that he scale back on some of these extracurricular media activities, like sitting down with Pat McAfee. And it has always been hilarious that, especially at the end of last season, Aaron Rodgers said the New York Jets need to just focus in a little bit more on football, that there need to be less distractions and less leaks. But this guy would sit once a week on Pat McAfee and provide the ultimate distraction. He was being the ultimate plus one, not a member of the team, but a guy who's on the team that is bigger than everybody enough that he can have his own segment once a week for like an hour where he just sat down and rambled, even when he didn't play. And so no shock that the New York Jets just basically said enough. We want a guy who's going to play football, not just going to run his own media show and be quarterback of the Jets. It's just a massive distraction. You want to know who benefits the most? Not the Jets, not Aaron Rodgers, but Pat McAfee. And so yesterday, C.J. Mosley, linebacker for the New York Jets, he was on Good Day New York on Fox in New York City. And he talked about his initial reaction to the Jets basically preparing to move away from Aaron Rodgers. Listen to this.
You know, we tried to do something special. You know, injuries took part in that, took away a lot of time. But, you know, he did do some great things this year, getting his 500 touchdown. He was a leader no matter what when he came into the locker room where he was with us, or, you know, when he was with us this year. And, you know, nothing but respect for him, you know, to come back from Achilles, 40 plus years old. I know the wins and losses can get in the way of a lot of things that you can accomplish, but there's no reason for him to, you know, leave New York with his head down, because I know he gave us his all.
Well, the New York Jets ruined things for everybody. Misery loves company. Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, let's be real, they deserved each other. Match made in hell. I can't even call it a match made in heaven, because it wasn't. It was hell. Mosley continued on. Is Aaron Rodgers cooked? Does he have something left in the tank? Like, what do you think, CJ?
We've seen him sling the ball around. He can definitely still play ball. You know, he was real mobile towards the end of the year, so that was fun to watch. That definitely got the sideline going. But like I said, you know, if he obviously is up to him, but I think he's definitely still at least got a year or two in the tank.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he does. I do. I don't think he's completely cooked. I think he'd be better than some of these bum-ass options that we currently have in the NFL. We discussed this yesterday, and now we actually have Vegas odds out as to where Aaron Rodgers could finish his career. The odds-on favorite, the Pittsburgh Steelers. At number two, the Raiders? I'd be shocked. Hickey, could you see Aaron Rodgers working for Tom Brady? I don't know about that, man.
I agree. His ego would not allow for that to happen.
Hell to the no. San Francisco 49ers? No. They're going to rock with Purdy. Minnesota Vikings? I see that as a more realistic possibility than the Raiders or the Niners, don't you think?
I see the Niners more realistic than the Vikings and the Raiders. I don't think any of the three are likely at all. I would probably order the just because I think Kyle Shanahan always has that wandering eye. And there's that, you know, allure to going back and finishing a career at home. I don't think either option are likely. Any of the options. But
I don't know if the 49ers would want to enter into the Aaron Rodgers game. You know, Hickey, having Aaron Rodgers on your football team is like signing up to play Squid Games. It really is. Like, you're bringing Aaron Rodgers in because your organization and your team is downtrodden. You're bad. You've been beaten to death. The only way that you can escape is to try to play a game that you have slim odds on winning. The chances are that you die at the end and that you're unsuccessful. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers. Now that I think about it, signing Aaron Rodgers is like signing up to play the Squid Game. It is.
I love that comp. That's A plus by you. And with that phrase, I'll ask you this question then. Is any, like, forget the 49ers. Is there any team that it makes sense to partake in the Aaron Rodgers experience?
It's the Steelers. I think it's the Steelers. And it's just because of Mike Tomlin. And I think because if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Steelers, and this might be any of the teams. Let me correct that. If he goes to the Steelers, I don't think there's going to be any of the extracurriculars. You know, I don't think we're going to have him on Pat McAfee. I think he's just going to go, I've learned my lesson. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to be here. And hopefully this is where I finish my career. We're going to get the humbled version. Of course, deep down, we know this guy is an egotistical, whatever you call it. We're going to get the tampered down version. I don't think the Steelers would tolerate it. The Raiders, for reasons that we just said, ego will not allow him to work for Tom Brady. I'd be shocked. The 49ers, I don't see them entering into this game with him. They got Brock Purdy. Hickey, that's like on one shoulder you got the angel and the other shoulder you got the devil. I don't think the 49ers would look over on the evil side, okay?
But the Vikings also like that comp. That's very fair.
Yeah, Brock Purdy is like he's sleeping on a couch of the offensive lineman. You know, he's driving a beat up car to practice. It's just he's likable. He's the opposite of Aaron Rodgers. But then the Vikings, we do know that Sam Darnold is a free agent. He could be tagged by the Minnesota Vikings. We don't know the full-on status of J.J. McCarthy and when he's going to be ready. And so there's some question marks with the Minnesota Vikings. And it's kind of nuts. Kevin O'Connell, I mean, just last week, he talked about Sam Darnold potentially moving on. We know he didn't win Comeback Player of the Year. We know Sam Darnold had a crap 2 weeks to conclude his season in the postseason and the regular season against the Detroit Lions. But listen to what Coach said. He says this guy played himself into some new money. This is what he said on CBS Sports.
I believe Sam has kind of played himself into being probably the marquee free agent quarterback available. Mm-hmm. Now there's a lot of conversations that will take place between now and the start of the league year to figure out if Sam Darnold, first and foremost, is the best situation for him moving forward going to be in Minnesota. I do believe that his teammates and coaches in our front office and myself, we would love to have Sam back in Minnesota. But at the same time, we do feel very confident in J.J. McCarthy. He's healthy. We drafted him 10th overall for a reason in what was a pretty, in my opinion, historically good quarterback draft last year. So we want to basically kind of continue. I think the dialogue, the conversations are so critical because Sam knows how I personally feel about him. Mm-hmm. I know he loves being a Minnesota Viking. Let's see kind of what these next few weeks look like. And as we have dialogue, all of it will be really twofold, where we're thinking about obviously having the best possible team in 2025 in Minnesota that we can. But I also care very much about Sam, and I want what's best for him.
Yeah, money. Well, we know Sam Darnold played himself out of some money, making $10 million last year. And we know he's gonna get an upgrade somewhere. Is it going to be from, I don't know, the Raiders? Not bad. Who wants Minshew? Who wants O'Connell? I mean, you pay Sam Darnold, I don't know, 25, 30? I think he go ahead and sign up for that. Matter of fact, Adam Schefter was on Pat McAfee's show, better than having Aaron Rodgers on. Adam Schefter said he thinks the Raiders and Brady will look for Sam.
I think the Raiders are going to make a play for Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold's candidate to be the Raiders quarterback. Okay. We'll see whether Minnesota lets him go or not, but let's see if that works out with Sam Darnold winding up in Vegas.
Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense to me than Aaron. I don't even, would Tom Brady want Aaron Rodgers quarterback in his team? picky. I could see Tom Brady in the front office now going, give me all of his medical records right now.
Where did Get him on the TB12 method.
Yeah, what is this guy doing? Give me his medical records. And I don't know. That seems like evil boss to me. Tom Brady be upstairs violating all types of rules. Or where did he live? What's his social security number? I don't know.
Well, they do have one thing in common.
What?
Can't hold down a woman.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Ouch. What, are they going to share war stories? At least I think Tom Brady got it worse right now.
I would agree, but trauma bonding may bring them together for an unlikely partnership.
Have you ever seen these two guys shake hands? Have they ever, like... I feel like they've intentionally been kept apart, or maybe they keep distance. Am I missing? Did they play in like a golf tournament ever, shake hands or something?
Now that you mention it, I can't remember a time where they've ever been in the same room together.
Either they are just, they hate each other's guts, or they just, oh, here we go. New York Times. What does this headline say? A rare Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers showdown.
Showdown.
Goes Brady's way, 2018. Uh-huh. Aaron Rodgers patting Tom Brady on the chest. Oh, they sat next to each other in an interview. They've played golf together. Oh, how sweet. Yeah. Well, Aaron Rodgers still would never work with this guy. Let's be real. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about not the quarterback, but a running back. Everybody likes this guy. I'll tell you who it is. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
We're here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Right before we went to break, we talked about some of these quarterbacks who are, well, they're eligible to go to other teams. Aaron Rodgers, it appears that eventually that'll be the case for him. And Sam Darnold, that might be the case for him too if the Minnesota Vikings don't decide to hit him with the tag and say, no, you're going to stay right here. Sam Darnold reportedly is a target for the Las Vegas Raiders. If the Minnesota Vikings don't decide to strong arm him and keep him. Okay. And Aaron Rodgers, well, there's going to be some slim pickings. I don't know, a lot of teams are going to be busting his door down to get him. The New York Jets added him because they were desperate. And they're crazy. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I have no idea how much money Sam Darnold is going to make. He made $10 million this past season. And Aaron Rodgers, man, at this point, if he wants to continue a career, he might as well have to go out there and play for pennies. Kingfish is calling from Arkansas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Kingfish?
Hey, JR. Hey, I heard some interesting news from a source, a friend of mine, about Aaron Rodgers, that you had said yesterday you wanted to find out where he would go, where he's needed. And that, from what I hear, he's thinking about starting a partnership with Joe Rogan and Brett Favre and opening up a ayahuasca resort down in South America. And it's a very interesting concept. It's like for $10,000, you can pay $10,000 to go down there once they build it. And you can have him set you up with the ayahuasca, drink that juice, whatever. I've never done it. But apparently when you drink it, you have to throw up and defecate and pee and get all messed up and everything, and then they'll wash you after you have your deal. They'll wash you off with hoses, and then Brett Favre and Rodgers will give you an option to where if you'll let them throw a football at you from 30 yards away, if you catch the football, you don't have to pay them the $10,000. It's free. It's all free. But if they hit you in the head or something, knock you down, you still have to pay the $10,000. And then they go open up a volleyball court. Sand-filled volleyball court where Brett Favre is going to have his volleyball out there in a stadium, and he's going to have topless volleyball. So I think he's needed in South America. What do you think?
All right. Thank you, Kingfish, for calling from Arkansas. Hickey, I had to look. Today's not Friday, right?
Nor is it April Fool's Day.
Okay. Today's not the Friday funny? Not today?
No.
Do we have any of the boos that are available? Are any of them available? Any of them? Oh, we got a little too far. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Hickey, that made my day. You have no idea. That made my day. Well, not what he said, what you just played. That made my
day. What a concept, huh? Go down to South America, pay $10,000 to crap your brains out, and then maybe catch a pass from Aaron Rodgers for free.
Oh, my God.
Then watch topless volleyball on the side.
Yeah, sponsored by Brett Favre. Hickey, now Brett Favre is going to sue us, huh?
That's true. Allegedly. This is all alleged, and this is not coming from our mouths.
Brett Favre is sitting around with Drake getting legal advice so they could sue us, both of them.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Just everybody. Everybody's suing. I was going to talk about the running back market and how likable Saquon is and whether or not people are going to start paying the running backs. I don't want to say a living wage. That would be just a ridiculous insult. But by NFL standards, we know the running backs, they want their cash. But, Hickey, based on that joke, I think we may have to talk about the running backs tomorrow. Does that make sense?
I think that's fair, yeah. We'll punt on that one.
Yeah, listen to the gentleman who just called Kingfish from Arkansas. That terrible joke. Not likable. Not a likable joke. Aaron Rodgers, not likable. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about another quarterback. I don't think he's too likable right now. I think there's a bunch of his teammates that can't stand his guts. He's looking real selfish. I'm going to tell you what wide receiver can't stand his former QB. And I think he has good reason. I'll tell you who on the other side of the break. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I feel like we have run into a part of the show where we're talking about individuals who are not liked. There's a lot of hate, a lot of vitriol for some of the individuals that we've talked about and we will talk about. Before we went to break, Aaron Rodgers was a topic of conversation. New York Jets saying, goodbye, we don't want you. Where does Aaron Rodgers go from here? I don't know. The Steelers? Oh, I don't know. Maybe Mike Tomlin feels like, you know, we can work together. We'll see. Now it's time to talk about somebody else not really liked. It's Cam Newton. Yep. Number one overall pick, 2001. Heisman winner, national championship, Auburn. The Super Bowl. MVP. Well, not the Super Bowl MVP. He won MVP. Then they went to the Super Bowl, and then Von Miller basically destroyed him. Lost in the Super Bowl 24-10. Didn't want to fall on the fumble. Yeah, we know about that. This man had a great career. Did. MVP, Super Bowl, champion. He had a great career for a quarterback. He absolutely did. And now you can catch Cam Newton on television telling everybody how he feels about football. And he has a podcast. Everybody has a podcast. And he's wearing his big hats. He has a great cigar lounge here in Atlanta. I love it. I'm not going to say I frequent it, but I think it's a great place. Fellowship. Right down a block from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I love the cigar place. But Cam Newton is making himself some enemies. His most recent enemy is a guy that he played with. Eligible Hall of Famer and wide receiver Steve Smith. And Cam Newton is starting to really put his foot in his mouth with his wide receiver and his teammates. How about this? You might recall, we discussed it last week. Cam Newton was on ESPN. And the question was posed to him. whether or not, given all of his individual success as a QB, specifically his MVP award, would you, Cam Newton, trade your MVP for a Super Bowl championship? This is the question. This is the response.
What's more important, impact or championships? You look at a guy like Allen Iverson, you stood up on the table and blah, 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 blah. Everybody's not going to be Michael Jordan. Everybody's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's not going to be these individuals who have the luxury of saying, hey, I not only dominated this sport, but I also have championships to back it. Like, let me remind you, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Respectfully, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. So, yes, when you look at those guys and you say, okay, what's more important? Would you have preferred to win a Super Bowl? I think that that's the humble approach. But if we're being honest, the impact of you holding yourself accountable to say everybody has a responsibility to do, and you can say as an MVP award winner or All-American, you've held yourself or you've held your end of the bargain down. And that's what it really comes down to for me.
I like how he said for me. Well, that's the point, is about you and not the team, even in that regard. I mean, to hear this years after your career ended, when it started in 2010, it's 2015, or excuse me, it's 2025. 2015 is when he went to the Super Bowl. It's kind of a gut punch if you were in the locker room with him. And maybe if you were in the locker room with him, maybe it's not a surprise that maybe Cam Newton, for all of his individual success, was more into himself than the ultimate team goal. Winning a championship. I got my MVP. I got my accolades. The rest of y'all need to catch up. Oh, you didn't. That's why we didn't win. Anybody who played a team sport may not be the best of attitudes. Well, that was some commentary from about a week ago. More recently, Cam Newton sat down a couple of days ago, last week, on Travis Hunter's podcast. And of course, Travis Hunter has a podcast. He was on Overtime. And Cam Newton, he basically said that the Carolina Panthers, when they drafted him, in trying to give advice to Travis Hunter, he said, be prepared. You're going to get drafted to a team full of losers.
When I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers.
How did you handle the pressure of being the top pick?
Let's put it in perspective. You're the top pick because what?
Where you play.
No. I'm talking about from the professional situation. You're the top pick because that was the worst team in the NFL the year before. My issue is when I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers. Guys didn't know how to win. Guys didn't know how to prepare. It was a culture shock for me. The games don't mean a lot to a lot of people in the league like you would expect. It's just money. Not everybody has capabilities to be impact players. They're just players.
Oh, ouch. Well, the Carolina Panthers did go 2-14 before Cam Newton got there. The Carolina Panthers went 6-10 in his first season, 2011, with Ron Rivera taking over as head coach over John Fox. The following seasons in Cam Newton's tenure, well, 2-14, 6-10, 7-9, 12-4 in 2013, 7-8 in 2014, 15-1 they went to the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, they went 6-10. 2017, they went 11-5. Next year, Cam Newton dealing with injury, 7-9. In his final season with the Carolina Panthers, as his body started to break down. A future Hall of Famer in Steve Smith did not appreciate those comments by Cam Newton. He said, a 53-man locker room minus one equals 52 losers? Wow, this is breaking news to me, Steve Smith. Steve Smith continued on. I've watched and listened to you from afar, Cam Newton. Talk about the Panthers. None of us are perfect. Yes, we were 2-14 before you blessed us with your presence. The way you've talked about the Panthers lately, I'm very disappointed. I wish you nothing but the very best. I'm done. Peace. Now, as far as I know, as far as I've seen, there hasn't been a response from Cam Newton. He has a show. He has a podcast. He can sit around. He can respond. But I think typically, and I've never been in no NFL locker room. I've never played. But when it comes to team sports, typically, there's a little bit more reverence and respect to the people that you play with. I mean, I call somebody a loser and nobody's going to take me seriously because I didn't play. They just go, oh, that's just JR saying crap. But when you have it coming from one of your peers, it's insulting. And we know Steve Smith has never been someone to hold his tongue. He's never been someone to shy away from his own thoughts. To hear Cam Newton, I think that's a warning shot from Steve Smith to just cut it out. Now, I don't know what private conversation they had. I don't know. You know, Steve Smith gave him a holler at one point in time. Someone said, man, this is just, it stinks to have family business out here like that. And Steve Smith corrected this individual and basically said, there's nothing family about this. This is just business. Steve Smith responded to a fan, I've never backed down from my words. However, calling the men in the locker room losers isn't slander. It's disrespectful. I disliked a lot of things that happened with my time there with the Panthers, but calling them losers? Nah. He also said there is no family drama, just drama. Hickey, I agree with Steve Smith. Like, Cam Newton is certainly garnering attention and people are paying attention to him. And maybe he doesn't care because his career is over. This is just rare to hear a professional athlete just openly deride his former teammates in such a public way like this. First, it's the, you know, I was thinking about me and not the team. And now it's, well, those guys were losers. So, I mean, did he walk on water? I mean, what are we seeing here?
I'm with you, and what I'm confused about as well is what is there to gain? Like, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't feel like any fan is now looking at Cam's career differently because he's saying, oh, man, I was with a bunch of losers. You know, the Panthers sucked until I graced their presence and, you know, taught them how to win and taught them everything they know. I don't think no matter how much Cam wants to, you know, show how great he is by knocking everybody else down, I don't know that that's changing anyone's perception. Like, I'm trying to figure out the motivation of why you're doing this, why you're talking the way you are.
He has to do something, right?
I guess.
Hickey, I don't know. Cam Newton is from here in Atlanta. And I don't think at this point he'll be on my list of people that will, you know, want to talk to me. I wouldn't blame him. I don't know what he does. You know, I saw him at a party. The mayor had a party like a month ago. Big gala, raising money, all this. And, you know, Cam Newton was there. Couldn't miss him. He's a 6'5" guy with a big hat. I told you he has a great cigar lounge. It's actually one of the best cigar lounges I've ever been to. I'm not a cigar aficionado, but I pop in. His place is great. But I feel like I know him more so now from the media personality. And it appears that he's not holding anything back. So what does he have to gain? Well, he's getting a check from ESPN. He's having more eyes and attention on him for a guy who's retired than he's had probably since he quit playing. And so what's the end game? I think for a lot of people, hey, I'm going to talk about the sport and I'm going to make money. What's there to gain? I don't think he gives a damn about his teammates or any of it. And I think it's quite apparent from everything that he said over the past couple of weeks. He's just thinking about himself. That's it. And that's the part that sucks, because you wouldn't have these accolades as great as he was. You wouldn't have these accolades if it wasn't for those losers with you, because the NFL is the ultimate team game. Like, professional sports is a team game. You can't win it all in basketball by yourself. You need help. In baseball, you definitely absolutely need help. And in the NFL, yeah, you as the quarterback are the most important guy. But if we just drop Cam Newton on a bum-ass team, a real bum-ass team, Cam Newton wouldn't have the opportunities he has now. He's not a one-man team. It's just, that's the answer, Hickey. He's doing it for himself.
I guess he's also going to forget then, you know, speaking of being with a team full of losers, the biggest game of his career, him being the ultimate loser. I guess we're just going to gloss over that.
Well, we saw his response after that game, huh?
I guess that's all we need to know, right?
The writing was on the wall. Go back and watch Cam Newton's press conference after he lost the Super Bowl, and then listen to what a winner sounds like. A Patrick Mahomes, a Jalen Hurts. Even in losing, listen to how they responded, and then look at how he responded. None of this is a shock. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Next hour, our last hour, of course, I'm going to share with you a few things that took place this day in sports history. We're going to have a chat with Kevin Gray from DLLS Sports. And then I have to tell you about a almost fight on Bourbon Street. We have one of baseball's most famous relievers retired versus the father of one of the NFL's most famous players, John Rocker versus Patrick Mahomes Sr. They almost fought on Bourbon Street. I'll explain. Don't move.